appreciate Brother Steve praying before we started. So I'll introduce myself. I'm Chris Miller. This is my wife, Victoria Miller, if you guys don't know us. But hopefully anyone here tonight who's single and wants to stay that way, would you go ahead and stand up? All right, so we have three or four people that want to stay that way. So you guys can go ahead and leave.
Praise the Lord.
All right. I'm so thankful each one of you guys came here this evening. And I know when they put our name up on the board, probably most of you were probably looking for things to do tonight. But I appreciate the ones of you who made effort to be here tonight. So tonight we're kind of nervous, so if we make eye contact with you, just raise your hand. And if you have questions, raise your hand and we'll think you're praising the Lord as well. So appreciate that. Brother Rain said when he was bringing the message the other night that when he brought the message, God can tailor it to fit everyone in his needs tonight. So hopefully something that we say in here tonight will come right to you. Not that we were preaching at you, but God will tailor it for you. Hopefully you guys in here are all ready to share your drink for the rest of your life, your finances, maybe your car. So my wife, Sister Victoria, is a much better speaker than I am. So she's going to do most of the speaking tonight. So if you would, just go ahead and flip up your spiritual cup because she's going to fill her up. So we've heard lots of good things this week. We've heard about puzzle pieces. We've heard about roadmaps. Those of you who've been here all week, we've heard lots of good messages and stories. But I really feel like if you put all them lessons together, you bring them all together, it really comes and fits into God's plan, right? God has a plan for each one of you here tonight. I don't know who you are, all of you, where you're from, and what the plan is, but God has a plan for your life. And what we're going to talk about tonight is such an integral part of that God's plan. And no two couples are ever alike, their plan of how they came together, right? Some I've spoke to this week mentioned they met. A few days later, they got married. It's worked out. I wouldn't recommend that. Some have met maybe on a Christian mingle. I wouldn't maybe recommend that. Some have met maybe on a blind date. Probably not the best way to do it. But it has worked for some, okay? So nothing, if you happen to get in the situation of someone else has, that's not what we're here talking about tonight. So we're going to talk a little bit about our personal situation, how it came out. Some people have been introduced to each other and it worked out. We've got some here tonight. I don't ever like to matchmake, and somehow that happened one time. Raise your hand. Appreciate that here tonight. So, Victoria?
Okay, I think he's just using the cop-out, but I speak more. So we both grew up here. We both met at church. We were born and raised here, but we really didn't know each other because he sat on this side of the church and I sat on that side of the church. And I know it sounds kind of crazy that you're at the same church, but you kind of just mingle with where you're at. And we didn't really get to know each other more till we were teenagers and in youth group together. And then we also went to school together. He was a little bit older than me, but we also went to school together. And so from our local congregation, you all know my mother. And if you were you're a young lady, you've had her and you've probably heard this advice: pray, pray, and pray, and pray, and pray early. And so she would, of course, preach to her own little congregation at home, which is me and my siblings, and the same thing: pray for the right one, pray for the right one, and pray early. Well, at 13 and 14, you're not really thinking about the right one, so you're like, okay, and so you're praying, and then when you get to 15 and 16, you're kind of praying, Lord, please let it be this one, you know, you have your eye on certain ones, and then, but I would always pray, because Mom always stressed, pray that God sends you the right one, not who you have your eyes on. So, you know, I'd always kind of help God with my prayers. Now you see this one, they really seem like they're the perfect fit. So if it's your will, and you know, you pray for that, and it didn't work out, but God has his own plan. And so some of the challenges, you know, and you hate to always compare, but it happens. And so when you have friends that start dating, and then you're kind of left out because you're not dating, and then everybody's dating and you're not dating, and somehow you become the chaperone for everybody dating, and it becomes very depressing. And that was me, and I was like, oh, I'm never going to find someone. I think we heard that earlier this week. There's no one for me. You're never going to find someone. And I know that they've talked about the list this week, and I know that here we've talked with the teens as well as about the list. And, you know, I had my own mental list of who and how, or what I wanted, not who, what I wanted in a companion. And so, of course, saved and spiritual. And so you're starting to look around. Okay, this one kind of meets a lot of these things. Maybe this is, wait a minute, why are they dating that one? I'm pretty sure that was who God had for me. And so, you know, it's good to watch and pray and watch their lives. And I think for the Polson has said that in his speaking that, you know, to watch the individual. And that's so good because you're going to see some things come out that maybe you wouldn't see if you're already in love and got the blinders on and everything's just roses. So, I mean, we went out in groups, not this yet, but I mean, we went out with young people in groups and just got to know people. And you see the ones that maybe are a bit obnoxious when you're in public, and maybe that's not a trait you want. Or if their food's not just so, and how they're maybe being rude, that's something you got to think about. You know, are they respectful of others? Are they giving a good name to the church? And so these are kind of things just to always be on the watch for, you know, because these are things that are going to be there for the rest of your life. How do they treat their parents? The saying always goes, how a boy treats his mom is how he's going to treat you. And thankfully, he treats his mom very well. Do they have a temper? And that could be a very big problem. Are they a good communicator? So thank the Lord for Google. It's become very wonderful to find answers quick. And so I Googled, what is the number one fail or problem for marriages? And it's communication. I thought it would be money, but it's communication. And so, ladies, don't assume he knows why you're upset. He knows you're upset or what he did, because he's not going to know. So just skip all the drama and tell him. Talk to him. Share your feelings and your hurts. Communicate. Playing the guessing game is so not fun. So you want someone that you can talk to, someone you can share your feelings and your hurts, your opinions, and be honest with each other. They always say there should be no secrets. So the only secrets I have is my takeout receipts. I hide those because you'd be like, coffee again? No. So I hide those. That's the only thing I hide. So think ahead to your future and talk about it with this person. I know sometimes when you date someone and you're with them a lot, you run out of things to talk about. And so sometimes maybe you get in territories you shouldn't talk about things. So think about your future. I know it's not about marriage tonight, but you need to be thinking about that. Don't be just dating to date. Date with marriage in mind. And think about, you know, okay, do they want a family? How are they with kids? You know, how you're raised. You can be raised in the church and still be raised very differently. You know, and my sister spoke earlier and talked about how we were raised very strict. And so some of the core value that my mom instilled in me is church, 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 above everything else. It is the most important thing. So I want to find someone that is exactly how they feel as well. If they feel like, yes, but, you know, if this comes up and this comes up, we'll do that instead. Because there's not going to be that perfect harmony. Do they have a good worth ethic? Because if they don't and they don't keep a job, then you're going to have money and then you're going to have problems. Do they spend too much money? And that these things are all going to cause problems in your marriage. And if you're going on just, I mean, obviously you're going to go for looks. You're not going to marry someone you don't think is attractive. That would be kind of weird. Obviously you're going on looks, but if you're only going for looks, it's not going to last very long because looks fade. Easy. No surprises. I was always told that there should be no surprises. So that means you should date long enough that you know the person and not be like, oh, wait, what in the world, right? Now, there are going to be some surprises like, oh, you don't always put your clothes in the hamper. That's exciting, right? There will be some surprises. But there should not be any major surprises in your relationship because you should have been watching this person, communicating with this person, learning about this person. Watch their life. Are they working for God? Are they faithful to services? Are they only coming when you're coming? Are they only there when you're there? Or if it's a party or if it's an event instead of like prayer service or a work day? You know, are they always at the things of God's work? And then talk to your pastor. We went and talked to the pastor before or during or somewhere when we were dating. We're dating each other. What do you see? Because the pastor's on the wall and they know some situations that maybe you're not aware of. And they could let you know, let's pray about this. Maybe, you know, just take some cautions here. And then take time to know each other. I know I was working at the time we were dating and engaged, and my coworkers were just floored that we were not going to move in together first. How are you going to know him? I mean, you really need to live with someone to know them. And I'm like, no, I really don't. I know him. We've dated for 2 years. I know him. And honestly, I can say there was no big surprises. And I always have said too, because I know camp meeting time is a big time that new people come in or revivals or meetings, but be careful because anybody can be whoever you want them to be for the week of camp meeting. And so you really need to get to know them. Go to their home congregation, watch their lives there. Get to know each other on different events, not just camp meeting, because I can be anybody I want you to impress him for a week. And then marriage would be a very big shock. So my very first recollection of us was in high school. I actually was in junior high. And so we had study hall that was in the cafeteria at the time. And I didn't like to go to the cafeteria because I didn't fit in with a lot of people. And I just kind of like to be a little by myself. So I go to the library. I don't know why he went to the library, but he was in the library as well. And so it was kind of funny as I had a friend that liked him. And so I would sit. We wouldn't talk too much because we were in the library. But I would try to actually get him to like my friend and go out with my friend. And him being his goofy self, it didn't work out.
Who did he tell you I liked?
He said he liked me, but he did not. He did not.
I knew.
Did not. That's why I'm going first. So then he had a really good friend, and I had a good friend that started dating. So of course, then they said that he was liking me, and I'm like, no. Well, it was about early May or June, whenever Cedar Point opens up, that he invited me to go to Cedar Point. Well, of course, we're a teenager who likes, you know, amusement parks. I was all game until I found out I was the only girl invited. I'm like, absolutely not. What is happening here? So I still didn't get the hint. I was just like, okay, that was a little strange. So I don't know if they went or not, but I didn't go. So I think it was around August camp meeting, or June camp meeting. Because I conceded to let's go out with some other couples. So there's three couples that we went out to eat. And I'm just thinking, this is so awkward. I know him. We're nothing alike. This is not who I have pictured as the person, my person. And so the waitress goes around the table and orders, and I've got my order ready, and he orders exactly what I'm going to order. And I'm like, whoa, this is a little weird. And I thought, he's just doing it on purpose. But he didn't know, really.
It's God.
It was, yeah. He had to work on me a little bit because I was a little scared. So we started spending time in smaller groups and the youth activities and getting to know each other. And as I said, it was not who I was imagined. And I, like, my sister said this earlier, but I already had it in my notes. I also was looking for someone musically inclined. And he is not so much. Now, music trivia, he could tell you if I'm looking for a song, oh, so-and-so sings that, or this group sings that, or this gospel group sings that, and he'll find it for you. But as for singing, it's not so much there. And so I thought that was super important. But then when I found out is we started, we started going to rest homes, and I don't like to go in the rooms and visit with people I don't know. That just makes me want to have a panic attack. And he doesn't know a stranger. So it worked super well. He would go in the rooms and visit, and I'd sing in the hall. And that worked out so well. So I thought, huh, this thing I really thought I needed, this opposite track thing was actually working well. And then, you know, you don't know your future. And there's a lot of things in my future I would have never guessed would have happened. And one would have been youth choir leader. I figured Sister Corda would be forever and ever and ever and ever the youth choir leader. And knowing my personality and how I am, if I had married someone very musically inclined, I would have been like, all yours, and sat back and let them take it. So, I mean, that was God's plan, and apparently, you know, he had to work on me. And I couldn't pass it off. So that I, knowing my personality, I would have done that for sure. So not only when you start dating, you know, do you want to have, and we do have a lot of commonalities, but you also want it to be your best friend. And so that's what we became, is we became best friends. And, you know, one that's always there, one that compliments your life, one that, you know, gives praise to you, one that's that, you know, that puzzle piece, that extra, what you're not. You know, you're strong where he is not, and I'm, which I think he's probably more strong where I'm not, because I seem like he's just so much better than I am. But, like, if you're both super late, that's not going to work out. You're never going to get anywhere. So I'm not super late. I'm just a little bit late. But he's very, very on it on helping me. So that's good. You want someone to be like, let's go, church is starting. and we're working on that, but we also have a toddler now that doesn't help us get ready very well. So, and then I'm a very, I must get it genetically. I'm a very nervous, anxious person, I guess. I didn't think I was, but I am. And he's so chill and calm and never gets riled up about anything. And so I've always teased the house could be on fire and I would be losing my mind. And he would be like, we probably should get things together and get out the door. I mean, he would be so calm about it, which is good, because if we're both in there going crazy, no one's going to get saved out of the house. So we then started dating and we would go to different things. We ended up, I think our first date was Tecumseh, the play Tecumseh, with other couple. And then I'm not sure how long we had dated before he told me that God told him I was the one. Oh, that was like, wow. Well, God has not told me that yet. So that was interesting. I was a bit scared. I was like, how do I process this? Why is God not saying this is the one for me? But I trusted him and his Christian experience, and I trusted that he was getting the right answer. It still took me a little while to come around to that. But and then as you know, as we're dating, and as I said, we've been dating for 2 years, then I begin to realize, you know, he is the perfect fit. Don't get so hung up on your list. Sometimes, and my list was not super difficult, you know. I mean, some probably have some super difficult lists, and you're not going to find that extremely perfect person. It's the perfect person for you. And so don't get hung up on some things that you may think is what's important. Now, obviously, the spiritual and the salvation and all those are extremely important. Don't ever waver. Don't ever take those off your list. But there are some other things, like maybe you want him taller than you and he's not taller than you. That's not a deal breaker, right? And so don't get so hung up on your list that you can't see when God's trying to work and say, this is the person. No, not that one, right? And so I've learned to never say never, because I've said a lot of nevers and I've had to eat them and they're not so tasty. So, but I found that, you know, not only did we find out that we were a lot compatible, had a lot of common interests, but that there were some bonuses, you know, like he made me laugh and like sometimes too much. I'm like, would you just be serious for just a minute, you know? And sometimes I don't know if he is ever serious, but you know, it's probably good because I take things a little too serious sometimes. But we enjoy the same things, and it's someone that's going to make you better. And I feel like he makes me a better person. And so I know that he is my perfect person. And I didn't have God audibly tell me, but I know. And I know they said that early in the week, like, it starts to come to you, and God starts to reveal it, and you know, this is the one that's for me. And, you know, in marriage, we've had a lot of things. And I was thinking it hadn't been that long ago, but as I look at you and a lot of your parents graduated with me, that's kind of making me feel old. So apparently it was a long time ago that this happened, that we were dating. So I was asking some things, trying to relay notes. We're both like, we don't remember. That was a while ago. But, you know, I've had some health issues. We've had some job transitions, some house transitions. We've had a different path to what we felt like was our family picture. And so these are all hard things. If you don't have that perfect fit, they're going to be deal breakers, and they're going to break up your marriage and destroy you. And you know, there's things that, you know, a lot of times he would be really good to be like, let's just stop and let's just pray about it. And you know, I would know it, but I'm all upset in the moment. And so you want that person that's going to say, let's stop. Let's bring God into this. Let's find out what his plan is and what he has for us. And, so when we got married, I was very close to 21 and he was 23, and I know some of the scriptures, there's two that I thought about. Did you have them? The one, did you write them down?
Page 32, I think. It's Psalms something. Sorry.
Yes, I think you Googled it on your phone, so you're probably fine.
Oh, I wrote it down.
Psalms 37 and 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then also the one that, you know, a lot of us know, Romans 8:28, that God works all things out together for our good. And so I, you know, some of the advice maybe I would give to you is you have your whole life to get married. And I kind of thought it was kind of funny, as a theme was going on this week, a lot of the couples that would say, you know, it was the thing to get married right out of high school. And the same with us. So if you were 18 and you graduated and you weren't at least dating, you're never going to get married. That was just, you know, one extreme or the other. And so I'm so glad that you guys aren't doing that, and you kind of give it time, because you have your whole life to be married, and this is a really big decision. So you really need to do some research on it and take your time and pray about it. And God's going to give you the desires of your heart. And so I would say pray, and then pray again. Don't date just to date, because then your feelings get involved and you hurt people's feelings, or, you know, get upset. And then also, always keep in mind, I know that we've brought in the week to keep your relationship in the light. You may be going to church for the rest of your life with the person you used to date. So you may want to keep that in mind. That will be very awkward, and there'll be some scarring and some really bad situations if you have to see this person all the time and you were not so great in your relationship. So date clean, knowing that if you have to face this person the rest of your life, there will be no regrets and no bad memories about that. And don't settle for a good marriage. I mean, a good marriage is wonderful, but you could have a great marriage. You could have a great friendship and a wonderful marriage. And listen to godly advice. I would say, you know, many passed through this room, and there's been many people that stood behind this desk and gave messages, and I've watched faces of the youth, and they're like, not going to happen to me. I can just see it. Not going to happen to me. I can do this. They've got this delusion that they're different. It's going to be different for them. So let me advise you, you're not going to change them. If there's a habit you absolutely can't stand, it's not going to change. And marriage is not going to fix it. Well, we get married and we'll work on that. Yeah, that's not going to happen either. Any problems you have in your dating, marriage is not going to fix that either. You won't win them to the Lord if they're coming to church only for you, if they're getting saved only for you. I've seen way too many times where it's happened that they follow the one out of the church and they don't come anymore. The ones make the statement of, oh, I really want this one. They're just so handsome. They're just so wonderful, and I'll give anything for them. And they do. And we've talked about God's perfect will and permissive will, and he will let you have that one. And we've seen that happen with ones in our youth group, and they're divorced, and they've got children, and there's just causes so much grief when they just jumped ahead. Like, they were so worried that they weren't going to have somebody, so they got to find somebody, and then they've just totally made a mess of their life. Don't get discouraged. Don't panic, and don't settle. God has created your perfect match. If you're trying to find the perfect, you know, outfit or the perfect car or the perfect vacation, you don't just get the first one and I'm never going to find one. I might as well just buy this car that's barely running, right? You keep diligently searching and praying about it. So don't settle. Don't panic. God's created that perfect match, and then you can pray for direction so that you can bypass all that heartache and misery when you've got that perfect one for you. Your turn.
So, some of the challenges of waiting for the right one would be meeting the wrong one, right? We talked with someone, I think Brother Tom talked about yesterday, meeting the wrong one. So all of you in here in your mind, think of first person comes to your mind. Maybe they're not the right one. Maybe they're the wrong one. That would be really tough to get stuck with the wrong one. Because there's some really special people in this room here tonight. But if they're not the right one, it could be very confusing because you really like them. And it also could be very confusing if you like several people. That happens. Or several people like you. That happens, right? So you have to make sure that you are waiting for the right one. Lord, it may take a little couple more months for me to figure out what in the world's going on. And don't be afraid to take some time apart. Say, we just want to separate for a little bit. I want to make sure what I'm doing is right, right? You don't want something to happen that you want to make it clear to me. Tonight, if you have somebody who likes you, but you're not interested, tell them the truth, right? Don't string them along. It could be 6 months later and they're still thinking, oh, yeah, yeah. And you're like, I still don't like this person. Well, you need to let them know. Don't try to hurt them. Rather, just tell them it's not the time. You come, you know, reassess at a later date. I'm serious. This stuff happened to me. This is all about me. We're not giving you names. So if you're here tonight and you've been praying for a while, you don't need to tell someone the first time you meet them or talk to them. I didn't say, Victoria, you're the one, the first time we met, right? If I did, that definitely would throw up a red flag. Relationships take time, right? They take time. We didn't click, we're getting married the first time we met. It may have happened on accident. Occasionally someone, you know, maybe has to go to the military, some reason, situation. But for most of us here tonight, it's going to take some time. It's just going to be like building a friendship. Think about your best friend. You probably can remember back to the first time you met. Maybe as time progressed, you're still your friend. but it's really built up over time because you have experiences together. You can share funny stories about your best friend, the same way with your future spouse, perhaps. You're building a relationship. They don't happen before they start, right? They take some time. You weren't best friends before you met. It's taking time. So, in the meantime, what do you do while you're waiting for the right one? I want you guys to get busy for the Lord. That's what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you busy working for the Lord. I think most all of you in here are. There's some of you probably could reassess yourself and say, you know what? I need to forget about relationships right now at this time. I need to get busy for the Lord. And when you do that, sometimes something will hit you in this. You weren't even looking for it, right? That'll happen. That'll happen to some of you here today. It's going to probably come out and you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming. I didn't even see this lady here. I was not searching for my wife. It was just something that I can't even remember how it exactly happened, but it worked out that way. Have you ever thought about maybe someone and you're like, those two were meant to be? Our youth leader and his wife, they're meant to be, right? They go where they work so well together. That was the Lord bringing them together, correct? I mean, I know they met at a very young age. Some even here probably have met your friends at a very young age, and you're going to kind of build into something else. Her and I knew each other probably at a very young age. I don't remember her, but it's going to take some time. It's going to happen. We've talked about some scriptures. I was kind of doing some research. Some scriptures for dating. Number one, they need to be saved. We talked about that. They need to be a believer. It makes things so much easier because you have the same goal. They need to be the opposite sex. That's in the Bible. Right? Amen. Amen. Yeah. If you got number one now, if you got a Christian, they're going to be also easy for step number two. So, sexual immorality is a sin. So you want to make sure you love and honor each other, right? If it's your girlfriend, if it's your boyfriend, you want to honor them. I know you always hear about the cliche of men opening the doors for the girlfriend. Well, it's a lot more than the door. It's going to be treating them with respect and treating them well, because if I treated my wife rough, it wouldn't be a very good relationship for her, especially. And if she treated me rough, it would not be a good relationship. The same way it's going to last, hopefully, for the next 60 years for all of you. You want to build that relationship right now as you're growing up. There's no happy time frame. I know the 1 Corinthians 7 says it's better to stay single, but then verse 9 says it's better to marry than burn with passion if you can't control yourself. So when you do date, maybe like in your 20s or your 30s, some of you are probably getting close to your 20s or your 30s, and if you feel like it's the right one, you've dated for some while, you've got a relationship, go ahead and get married, right? It's better to get married, the scripture says, than burn with passion. But you need to make sure that you can support the family. You make sure that you can serve God together. They're the right one. Just don't hurry and jump into anything. You don't want to get the wrong one. Last item we talked about earlier is dating is all about relationship building. Hopefully everyone in here is happily married for a long time. You can look back to this camp meeting, you look back to these lessons, and hopefully something that we've said this week can trigger in your mind. One of these days, some of the youths that are 13 years old are going to fall in love. It may not be for another 10 more years, but hopefully that something we've said this week will stay with you. You're going to hopefully be building relationships from here to the day you die, no matter who it is, if it's the person you meet at the grocery store, maybe a one-time relationship, maybe it's someone who comes to church for the first time, someone you meet at school. I know we've got a person who's going to get married next year in our youth group that he met someone when he was young at school. He had no clue what it was going to build into, right, even as a middle schooler. Why? Because God had a plan for everyone's life, and he had no clue, because he treated them right. Relationships start as a young age. Continue to treat each other you don't ever want to treat someone like you're going to marry them, but just treat them as a friend and relationships will grow. So